animals, like people, have physical bodies that occasionally need repair. One way to repair a body is through the allopathy of drugs and surgery. The alternative way is through the chiropractic laying on of hands. This leads us to wonder, is there a difference between the healing of animals and the healing of people?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1085th edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Punta Arenas who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Strubia on the boards. Hello, Jason.
Pleasure to be with.
Hey, Jason, I have a good one for you, a good question.
Let's hear it.
Do you think animals have souls?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Okay, fair enough. Animals, like people, have bodies that occasionally need repair. There are two approaches to helping the body repair itself. One way is through the allopathy of drugs and surgery, and the other way is through the chiropractic laying on of hands. Allopathic medicine has established itself as the conventional way of treating bodies in need of repair, and now generates in the neighborhood of $400 billion a year in business. $400 billion. Alternative healing, like the chiropractic laying on of hands, generates somewhere in the neighborhood of $34 billion a year. Though the market clearly thinks drugs and surgery are the way to heal bodies, many in the marketplace are looking to alternative methods of healing for themselves and for their animals. And that thought got us to wondering, is there a difference between the healing of animals and the healing of people? Well, here to help us get the conversation going today, we have Dr. William Strickland, who is a animal chiropractor at Rose City Veterinary Hospital in Pasadena, California. Hello, Dr. William. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Michael.
It's a pleasure to have you aboard, animal chiropractor.
Yes. Hey, you, by the way, this is a happy new year, and this is the earliest New Year's Eve party I have ever attended.
That is. Well, we're going to celebrate chasing the old one out and the new one in today by having a fun conversation about animals and about healing and our relationship with those critters. So, you know, I've never really given animal chiropractic much of a thought. Until I ran into you, and then I Googled animal chiropractor, and there's a whole world there I had no idea about. And one of the things that I've always been curious about is how I have a good friend, Dr. Joel Wallach, who was raised on a farm. And he always said that, you know, when you're a farmer, you don't have the ability, you don't have the finances to be able to call a veterinarian in every time an animal gets sick. So you have to learn how to take care of things yourself. And much of the ways he took care of animals, were different than a veterinarian would traditionally do. And something tells me you're along the same kinds of lines, aren't you?
Yeah, it's funny. I've been listening to Dr. Joel Wallach for a long time, and he's one of my favorite people. And it actually, some of the things he talks about growing up is similar to how animal chiropractic got started in this country. Because when it was started, it wasn't a sort of a woo-woo or a feel-good thing, like, can you help my dog is not feeling well? It was all about farm animals. And it was in the Midwest and in the Bible Belt, and that's where chiropractic was born. And farmers would say, you know, my horse isn't plowing. You know, the farm animals aren't there's something going on. And
aren't working, aren't earning their keep, right?
Yeah, you know, and a lot of them couldn't afford, if they couldn't afford a lot of expensive procedures, they'd say, well, you know that chiropractic thing you're talking about, you know, if you could do that on my cow and it works, you can do it on me. And that's what they
did. Oh, you mean it started with animals and not with people?
Actually, chiropractic began over 100 years ago. But in the early days of chiropractic, The founder of chiropractic, D.D. Palmer, started working on animals to prove a point. He wanted to show two things. One, that chiropractic, in and of itself, was very effective because animals have spines just like people do. But two, he wanted to prove that chiropractic was not a mental state. In other words, it was not a placebo. And his statement, and it makes sense today, that dogs and cats and horses and cows can't be talked into feeling good. So there is no placebo effect with chiropractic.
So by working on animals and demonstrating the that you can heal animals, you have a genuine something going on, right?
Yeah. It's basically, it's a show me. You know, that's what the farmers should say. Well, show me, prove it to me. And there's no suggestion. If an animal has a limp, if they seem to be in pain before the adjustment and they seem to be better after, it's completely, it's completely due to the chiropractic adjustment itself.
Well, and how did you become involved in animal chiropractic?
Wow, this is a story that changed my life.
We like those.
It was, and it's my favorite story. It's a story about a little cat named Binns, and Binns was named after where the little kitty was found, near these...
In the bins?
In the bins. Well, actually, near these trash bins near downtown Los Angeles. And my wife was down there on business, and she heard this little kitty meowing in pain in the parking lot, and she went to go pick it up, and the kitty was limping badly. Looked like it had a peg leg, looked like Captain Ahab from Moby Dick, and it couldn't flex its elbow, was just meowing really bad, emaciated, ribs showing. And she said, oh my God, I'm taking you home. And she picked the kitty up, and the kitty just melted in her arms and just fell asleep. She brings the kitty home, and it's like the thing you always love hearing from your spouse. Oh, honey, I got another cat.
Just what I was thinking.
I found him on the street.
In downtown Los Angeles.
In downtown. But it gets worse and it gets better. There was something definitely wrong with this kitty, and so we took it to our vet. And then, mind you, I had just gotten out of school. I had just become a doctor, and I was really wet behind the ears. And I wasn't thinking about this at all. I was thinking about human chiropractic. So I went to the vets with this little kitty, and lo and behold, we took x-rays. And I used to teach radiology, too, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But we looked at the x-rays, and we saw metal fragments in her body. And he said, oh, she's been shot. And she has multiple broken bones, and she hasn't eaten for a long time, and she's probably 24 hours away from dying. So this was... this was a tremendous, thing to find her at this exact time. And I remember asking the vet, well, what are we going to do? I mean, we've got to, stabilize her and get this going and that going. And he said, oh, sure, we'll do that. We'll make sure the kitty lives. But we were looking at this kitty's elbow. The kitty could not walk. Its elbow was locked into place. It looked like a frozen joint. And I remember looking at the x-ray saying, can that elbow be fixed? And the doctor would say, oh, no. In my opinion, and I've been a vet for a long time, this kitty is never going to walk again. And I went, really? Because I'm looking at that elbow, and I'm not quite sure. Then again, I'm not a vet, but, I teach radiology, but that elbow doesn't look fused. And, it's fused, and it's going to have surgery. And he said, actually, I don't recommend it because the chances of them nicking a nerve and having the cat become losing all sense of
and not only that, you got to pay for a cat surgery, right? Oh my goodness!
Just a few dollars, about $5,000 or $6,000
for the little kitty you found on the streets in downtown
right.
Los Angeles.
And we were
you're going to have to hold that the rest of this story, because we have to take a hard break.
All right.
Okay, but so we're going to leave it right where we are. We have a little kitty. Little kitties, they found a little kitty near the trash bins in downtown Los Angeles, of all the places to find a little kitty, right? Mm-hmm. And then they took it home, took it to the vet, going to die in about 3 hours. Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? Oh, my, it's got a fused leg. It can't move. Oh, we have big trouble here. It's going to cost tens of thousands of dollars to fix this kitty. Something's got to happen. Because that just isn't going to happen, right? Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Today is the last day of the year 2016. What year is it? No, you tell us. Let me get the right one here. I think you're on this one.
I think I'm on this one, too. I think it's 2016. I could be wrong.
It is 2016. It is 2016. We're moving into 2017. And today we're doing that with Dr. William Strickland, who is an animal chiropractor. And, boy, when I put the news out that we're going to have an animal chiropractor, I got some really feisty response. Voodoo, they call it. They kill babies. Oh, my goodness. So we're going to have a conversation with this Dr. William Strickland, find out if they're really that bad or if they're the kind of people that can heal little kitties. What do you think? 831-479-1080. Right back.
Wow, MetroFarm.com says we can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
And we don't even have to own the land. We can lease it year to year.
MetroFarm.com says we can grow fruit on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, vegetables in city greenbelts, and ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
We can even grow flowers on our wooded hillside.
Get all the information you need to grow for profit at MetroFarm.com, including the complete guide to earning 5-, 6-, and 7-figure incomes by farming small parcels of land. Meet the farmers who earn the money. Find experts at MetroFarm.com who will examine your property and assess which crops to grow. Meet consultants who will help steer your project to profitability. And get the latest news about the business of growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
We've always dreamed about farming a small parcel of land. At MetroFarm.com, we can get all the help we need to stop dreaming and start growing.
Welcome back. This is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with Dr. William Strickland. He of the... I guess it's, let me get the right name here, the Rose City Veterinary Hospital in Pasadena, California. Also sitting in on with us today, we have daughter Kelsey, who's in from the East Coast, and we're especially happy to have her today because she has an incredible story about a dog that she worked with for a long time. What kind of dog was that?
I had a military canine, so I had a dog that worked for Naval Special Warfare.
Wow.
And retired into a glorious home filled with bacon and love.
Okay, there you go. And we understand that Dr. William Strickland also is a specialist in working with police dogs. So that's where this conversation is going to get really interesting. But it is interesting right now because Dr. Strickland is telling us the story of how he became involved in animal chiropractic. And it all had to do with a little kitty cat they found, his wife found, in downtown Los Angeles near the garbage bins. And she brought it home and said, "Hubby, look what I brought home for you." And so there we go. You have the cat. It's at the kitty cat. It's at the veterinary. The veterinary says it's got an hour or two to live. Or by the way, you would be happy to operate on its leg for $5,000-$6,000. And so where do you go from there?
Well, here we go. This is where it gets fun. So basically, it's exactly what you said. It was all dire. And the dire was just the good part. And I'll never forget what this doctor said to me, because he had known me for a little while. And he said, "You know, aren't you, you're a chiropractor, right?" And I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "You know, why don't you do something?" Now, everything stopped.
That's good, right?
On a wet highway where all the cars are, like screeching. I mean, what? And, I said, I'm not a vet. He said, "Yeah, but, you're a chiropractor, And I'll never forget the words he said. He said, "Well, what would it hurt?" He said, "This kitty has been shot and has multiple broken bones, which, by the way, had fused. They weren't fresh. They weren't recent. Mm-hmm. They had all been healed." And he told, basically, he was saying this kitty had a horrible life on the street and was about ready to go to the next world. And he said, "Why don't you just do something?" And I said, well, like what? He says, "Well, adjust the kitty." He says,
"Fix it.
Adjust people." And all of a sudden, this light bulb went off in my head. And it was as if somebody, he gave me permission, in instead of another chiropractor or another doctor, it was a veterinarian that said, he just looked at me kind of crazy, like, well, why not? You know, and, you know, use what you have. You know, he said, you know, you were trained to do this, do it. He said, what, you know, that I said, I don't think the kitty's going to mind. And sure enough, you know, I thought, well, I'll do some traction and some massage and, you know, some real basic thing. So I took the kitty home, and that night, I did a little work. I did some very basic adjusting, and I'll talk about how I do that in a little bit, but it was very, very safe. I didn't do huge cracking things, but very, very light, gentle adjustments, and mostly physical therapy. I was doing traction and massage and things like that. So fast forward, I go to work the next day, and I come home, and as soon as I walk in the door, the kitty's standing there, and the kitty walks up to me, and I mean walks. I didn't use the word hobble. Was walking with a limp, but was walking, and was actually putting weight on the paw that previously it was like a peg leg. And I went, oh my gosh, there was a lot of other expletives that came out, but I was shocked. I said, no, this can't be the same kitty. So I thought, okay, we're on to something. So that night I did some more traction, I did a little more adjusting, and I did, you know, range of motion things, and I was just basically step by step, little by little, doing baby steps on this kitty. And the next day when I came home was the day that changed my life. I came home and the kitty not only was walking, but was running. And ran up, we had these little steep stairs that only a cat could enjoy. And the kitty ran up the stairs. And it changed everything. Because this was not... No one had ever prepared me for this. Nobody ever said, well, if you do this, this will happen, you know, with an animal. And it was just sort of, it just took me by surprise, and it changed my life forever. Suddenly I went, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And
kind of healed yourself in a way, didn't it?
Yeah.
Little kitty.
Yeah.
Kind of changed your life, gave you direction, made you the person who you are. Do you ever work on people?
Yes, I have family and friends that will not let me stop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in demand, but I no longer work on people professionally, and it's one of the most common questions I'm asked is if I'm working on someone's dog. They say, "Well, can you work on me too?" And I go, "Well, is your nose cold and wet?" Well, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Some people say it's an interesting your lead in. You're saying that people thinking it's voodoo. I have run the gamut of people saying this is crazy too. This is the most greatest thing since sliced bread. And you know, I've learned to just say, you know, this is what I do and this is my passion and it works.
Mm-hmm. Let me step back a little bit, and you know, there's two ways of healing. One is through the allopathic methods of, you know, drugs and surgery and whatnot, and the other is through the alternative methods, including that of chiropractic, which is kind of like the laying on of hands. The allopathic method is big business, $400 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
In business, and the alternative methods, 34 billion, microscopic, you know, in size, and yet fewer people seem to grumble about the craziness of chiropractic. I'm amazed to get the email I did, but fewer people seem to be going in that direction. And my family at one time, you know, we used to go to a doctor's all the time, and now we go to a chiropractor occasionally, and I go to the doctors rarely. So you guys are kind of a financial threat to the medical industry, aren't you?
Not really. That is one of the best questions I have ever heard in on the subject. No, we're not. And there are multiple. I'm part of a.
Well,
new...
Wait a minute. Let's go back to the kitty.
Uh huh.
There was an opportunity for a vet to operate on the kitty for $5,000 or $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you took the kitty cat home and worked it, and all of a sudden it was not in need of any surgery. So,
yeah.
So that, you know, right there is the bottom line. That was a huge difference.
Well, what it did, you see, you're touching on something really good, and that's yes, there was an opportunity to make that kind of money for the doctors. However, in that case, and this is my case with a lot of veterinarians that I've worked with, working with veterinarians was an eye-opener, too, because veterinarians, to my surprise, were very open to the concept of this. And the reason is this. Veterinarians do what they do very well, and they do what they do very well, and they do make a good living at it. And the services they provide and the things they do keep them very busy. And when they come across someone like me, I am an and. It isn't an or. Do you do allopathy or holistic? It's and. You do allopathic and holistic. And that's the reason why I work with veterinarians in an animal hospital, is that in this situation, this particular doctor thought that even though surgery might help, he said that it probably shouldn't be done. And this is just my experience, but veterinarians are often more entrenched in common sense. And I know that's a dirty word these days, but common sense, which is basically you look at a situation for what it really is, what are the chances of it going one way or the other? And he said, if it were me, I probably wouldn't do surgery on this kitty.
Yeah, so there is some common sense there. We're going to have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'd like to go to working animals and specifically working dogs. And, hey, I understand you have some good stories about the animals of the stars, too. So lots of fun coming up, folks. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour, with... Hey, KO's in town. Kelsey, my daughter's in town from Virginia, and she's got a dog story. And Dr. William Strickland down there in Pasadena has a great dog story. Bet you do, too. 831-479-1080. This is the Food Chain. We will be right back. Welcome back, folks. This is a Food Chain Radio Program. Today we're talking about animal chiropractic with Dr. William Strickland from Pasadena. How long have you been working on animals, Doctor?
About 20 years or so.
So you've been working on a few of them. You've been working on animals of the stars as well, the Bob Hope family and so on?
Yeah, that was I became the animal chiropractor to the Bob Hope family. And I went there to their estate for many years, and that was an honor.
Mm-hmm. What kind of animals did they have, and do you have any good gossip about them? We all love gossip about the stars, right?
Dogs talk, and they tell stories.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I first got there, I'll never forget, they sort of did a walkthrough, and I went on the estate, they said, after showing me his one whole golf course, which kind of made me laugh, because the whole backyard, which is a golf course, was built just for the dogs. That shouldn't be told to anybody else. That's a secret. They love dogs so much in that family that the daughter said to me that, if you work on animals, you're probably the best thing in their book, because they love dogs above all else. And they had labs, and they had chihuahuas. They had every kind of dog you can imagine. It was, how I actually got to work with them was really interesting, and it touched on some of the stuff you were asking me before. I was a professor for a long time, and one of my students, who I didn't know she did this, but she worked with the Bob Hope family for like 25 years, and she approached me very quietly, and she said, Dr. Strickland, I know that you do animal chiropractic, but I was wondering if there's any way you could help this family that I work with. And I said, well, tell me the story. And she proceeded to tell me the story about this dog that was dying from kidney disease. And this family, she said, and she didn't quite tell me the name right. She says, they have some money, and they're thinking about doing a kidney transplant. And I went, what? And she says, yeah, there's only been a handful of those done successfully. But the doctors that said that they were going to do it said that they couldn't do it anymore, and the dog was not long for this world. So I said, well, I'm not a vet. I can't. What I do is very limited in the scope that it is. And she said, well, could you just look at the dog? And I said, well, okay. Then she told me who it was and who it was for. It was the Bob Hope family, and this is one of Bob's dogs. And so I nervously you know, I had them bring in the dog and to the hospital, and you know, I said, well, okay, you know, this is what I do. I use the basics of chiropractic to fix what I find, to balance the body, relieve tensions in the spine, you know, things like that. And I said, you know, I can't guarantee anything. I'm just a supplement to the veterinary care as it is. And they said, okay, that's fine, that's fine. And I started working on this dog, and the dog started getting better. And this is concurrent with veterinary treatments the dog was getting to keep the dog going. And they said, well, can you come over to our state? Instead of us coming out to you, we would really like you to work, you know, with our vets here. And so I started going over to the Bob Hope estate, you know, sometimes once a week. And it was the most enjoyable thing I've ever done, because I basically had run of the place. I could drop in any time, and I'd go there, and I'd play with the dogs, and I'd you know, I'd walk around the estate, and it was a great experience.
So you fixed the dog, and they loved you.
Well, they when the dog was supposed to die within 3 or 4 months, and the dog was, I was still working the dog 3 years later. And mind you, this is all with veterinary care.
Sure.
On top of that, with, you know, I was working alongside veterinarians.
Not an or, it's an and.
It's an and.
Okay, good to go. Now, I like to go to working dogs, because I guess that's where we started, with working animals. And we still, you know, use animals to do work. And you work with the Glendale Police Department with the police dogs. And Kelsey here had a wonderful experience with a working dog. Kelsey?
Yeah, I had a great dog, Loader, from Naval Special Warfare. He retired into my family. And interestingly enough, Naval Special Warfare, the veterinarians there do exactly what Dr. Strickland said, which is they use both. They use traditional medicine, they use acupuncture, they use chiropractic, and it makes sense because the dogs need the whole kit and caboodle. I mean, they work so hard, and their bodies go through a lot, and they deploy a lot. They're doing a lot with these animals to keep them trained and on the top of their game, and by the time all said and done, they're about a $200,000 dog. That's how much work and training and care goes into them. And they benefit tremendously from chiropractic, just like the men and women who work in Naval Special Warfare. You know, their bodies go through so much, and they're so physically active all of the time that things get tweaked and they need to get put back into place.
And, Doctor, you work with the Glendale Police Department. Their dogs probably go through a lot as well, correct?
Oh yeah, and everything she said is right on. We're asking these dogs to do things that often we can't
right?
And they're very dangerous, and these dogs do it. Even though she's right, it's I was shocked when officers were telling me what it was costing them to get the dogs, train the dogs, feed the dogs, and it's even their diet is special. Everything about it's expensive. And they have injuries that can take them out in 2 seconds. They have we had a dog down here that was shot, saving its officer's life, and it was Bruno in Orange County, and the dog has since passed. But it these dogs save our lives. You know, you think back to the World Trade Center after 9/11. These dogs, and many of them, died rescuing, searching, and rescuing for people, and they didn't complain. They didn't grumble. They suit up. They show up. They're so happy to do it. And the most shocking thing about it was when I first met with the Glendale Police Department about this was they told me that they had. I said, well, what, you know, how are these dogs paid for? You know, how do you take care of them? And they said, oh, it's all 100% donation. And I went, what? Wait a minute, because the word taxes come up. You know, we're taxpayers. We pay for this and this and this. And you know, police officers are, you know, they're paid for by government, you know, entities, city, local, state, federal, you know, different law agencies. And what do you mean, these dogs who save our lives and protect us and sniff out bombs and do all that kind of stuff, they're not paid for? No. And it's 100% donations, and the officers have to have rally. They have to have special little fairs and fundraising events and things like that. So. And when that's how it got started, because I said, well, you know what, I'm going to work on your dogs, and I'm not going to charge you a dime. And they went, well, you can't do it. I said, yes, I can. I said, because it's this is not right, and they deserve better, and that's how I got started.
Volunteer.
Volunteer.
Pretty remarkable. That's a tremendous gift.
Now, Kelsey, you also ran into a situation with respect to how volunteer organizations take care of the Naval Special Weapons or Special Warfare.
Naval Special Warfare, yeah. We had a great foundation, Spike's Canine Fund, that helped us through chemotherapy, the other side of, mm-hmm. of medicine. And they really helped us have a little more time with our guy. They did.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. This is the Food Chain Radio program. We're talking about animal chiropractic, and we're going right into the working animals, like the dogs that serve our military, that serve our police, and how precious those dogs are. And you know, when it gets right down to it, if there is a proving ground for animal chiropractic, I guess that would be the place to start. You are invited to participate, 831-479-1080. If you have a good dog story, give us a ring. Welcome back, folks. Michael Olson here. We're talking about animal chiropractic. We have Dr. Kelsey on the line. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
And we have Dr. William Strickland on the line from Pasadena. He's with the, I want to get this right, Rose City Veterinary Hospital in Pasadena, Pasadena. And he is an animal chiropractor. Doesn't work on people. Forget it. Don't even try it. Ain't going to happen. He doesn't touch people at all. But he does love the dogs. And we also have on the line with us Rich. Rich, thank you for tuning in. You're talking with Dr. William Strickland. Go ahead.
Yes, calling for the doctor. I had a question. What did you actually do during the three-year period to get to help the dog survive?
That's a heck of a question. How did you do that, Dr.
Well, I did what I do with all animals. I did basic chiropractic assessment and adjustments, and I also brought in acupuncturists, and I worked alongside with the veterinarians, and it was definitely an and. On top of the medicine the dog was receiving, we would give routine chiropractic adjustments and routine acupuncture treatments. And what we ended up doing was stabilizing the dog. And it's an excellent question, because it brings up one of the biggest questions of all, which is, like, how does that work and why do you do it? What we're doing essentially is we're balancing the body, and we're making the body work better so that other things can work with it better. And by that, it's, everybody's told the story of, you know, they all know the story about taking medicine for things like antibiotics. And sometimes people say, why is it, do I have a cold or I have an infection for so long? And other times it's a very short period of time. And that all has to do with how strong your body is, how balanced your body is. And what I was doing was I was helping the dog be the best it could be so that the medicine and the other treatments could work even better. And we all pitched in, and we worked as a team, and I think we helped that dog not just live longer, because living longer is not the point. It's the quality of life. And that dog was playing and running around chasing balls around Bob Hope's backyard, the golf course.
Making Bob Hope very happy as well. You know, that is an excellent question, Rich, because you think about the drugs they're giving to cure whatever kind of condition the dog had. Chances are those drugs were, well, a poison of one kind or another, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when it gets right down to the nitty-gritty, that's pretty powerful stuff that we take to cure ourselves. And if we're not in very good shape, those things can be very hard on our body as well. So what you say is that by realigning everything and fine-tuning the body so it is as good as it can be, then you have a much greater chance of your body has a much greater chance of healing whatever's wrong.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, it's like, the best analogy I come up with is our modern day analogy with digital communication and the internet. Basically, what we're doing is we're increasing the communication. When I heard on the break one of your commercials talking about increasing the bandwidth strength of the internet and making it faster, and you go, yeah, that's what it is. I mean, you remember when we had dial-up? 100 years ago, and it took you like 5 minutes to download a single page of Mickey Mouse, and now you can do it in a thousandth of a second. That's all communication. And if you have any impairment on the line or any through any means of communicating from point A to point B, that information can be lost. And to make the best decisions the body needs to make, it needs to have full communication. And what we do is we help restore balance and communication with the mind and the body.
So a great question, Rick. Thank you for calling it in. The number 831-479-1080. If anybody else has a good question like that, love to hear it. So with respect to the working dogs that you work with, mm-hmm. They come to you hurting, right?
Yes. Limping, in pain. There's a whole myriad of symptoms they will come in with. And first, and I have to say this is the most important part, in case people think, well, they just come in off the street. No, they come in and they get full examinations by the veterinarians, because they have to make sure that there's not another underlying cause. And many times I've said, look, you know, if somebody says my dog's limping or he's licking his paw, and I'll say, well, make sure there's no foxtail in the paw, you know, or a little pebble or a sting.
Yeah.
You know, and sure enough, but sometimes there are external things like that have to be ruled out.
But oftentimes, there was a reason they're coming in with a limp that had nothing to do with having a sticker in their paw, right?
Right, and it's the same reason why people will go to see a chiropractor themselves. And the working dogs are interesting, because these dogs have sometimes they're perceived to have a higher tolerance of pain. They probably don't. What it is, they have a greater drive to please us and to work hard. I mean, the hardest workers I've ever met didn't walk on two legs. The hardest workers I ever met walked on four legs and had cold, wet noses. And the interesting thing is, when we talk about certain medications, is relating to when I was talking to the police officers about this, they said, if you have a dog that they've trained for years, they've spent a lot of money on, and they have a bond with one particular officer, if that dog becomes sick or injured, what do you think they give that dog to make it better? They give it a whole plethora of medications. But what if that dog is a specialist with a SWAT team and is specialized in sniffing out certain chemicals that are the precursors for explosive devices? The medications they give the dog may actually interfere with that dog's ability to smell. So now you have a $20, $30, $50, $100,000 dog that is...
Okay, you're going to have to hold that thought. We'll pick it up right after this break. Oh, do stay tuned. Well, we have a few minutes left and so much to talk about with Dr. William Strickland and Kelsey McCann and you, 831-479-1080. We're talking a little bit about the need to protect an animal's ability to work, specifically if an animal is trained like a SWAT dog or military dog to sniff out explosives. If you give that animal the wrong kind of drugs, that animal may lose its ability to sniff out those things. Is that the right track, doctor?
Yeah, and you know, there's a story out of San Diego many years ago that actually, thanks to my mom. Hi, Mom. This is before the internet, if anybody remember that, when people actually read newspapers and clipped them out and send them to their kids. My mom used to send me clippings from the paper down in San Diego about this chiropractor that was recognized for bringing back a canine officer that was in a lot of pain. And there are YouTube videos of it. His name is Dr. Michael Winters, and this is how partly it inspired me as well, because basically this dog had been trained. There's a German Shepherd. It was a great dog, and they trained him, and they got him up to speed, and all of a sudden he started having a lot of pain, and they had to take him off the force. So all that time, all that training, and he seemed to be in a lot of pain, and there was nothing they could do. And this doctor, Winter, said he stepped up to the plate and he said, you know what, I think I could do something. And he started working on the dog, started doing chiropractic adjustments on the dog. And long story short, the dog was reinstated after they had took him fully out of the service. They reinstated him back as a canine officer. And not only that, but the city of San Diego gave Dr. Winter an accommodation for it. because he basically, he not only helped this dog feel better, he brought an officer back online. And
made that canine officer very happy to be back in the saddle again, as it were. We have a call from Lynn. Lynn, welcome to the Food Chain Radio Program with Dr. William Strickland, Kelsey McCann. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks, and thanks for a fascinating program. The doctor mentioned that the service dogs were on a special diet, and I was just wondering if he had any, in general, tips or recommendations for dogs' diets.
Well, there you go. That'll take about 3 hours.
specifically, now this is where I will profess some ignorance on the type of diet that these some of these special canine officers are on. Are they're quite expensive, they're unique, and they're proprietary, and you can't get them at any vet store. But basically, it goes to the old adage you got to. And this is what Michael Olson does. You know, it goes back to organic ingredients. And you know, lots of vitamins and minerals, and you have to read the labels on things, folks. There's a lot of bad stuff out there, and these dogs that do a lot of work and protect us, many times they get what I call the superfood, and it doesn't sound very appetizing though. It comes in these strange gel packs, but this is like something out of a Marvel Comics story. They're like superhero food. And, you just have to read the label and make sure that your dog's not getting a lot of fillers and a lot of byproducts.
Just like us, right?
Just like, and the number one is wheat gluten. No wheat gluten, folks. Please stay away.
Amen. Okay, Lynn, thank you for that call. Dr. Strickland, Dr. William Strickland, how can people tune in with you if they so desire?
Well, they can, I have a YouTube video that is from one of the many TV shows I was on that.
Okay, so we can search for Dr. William Strickland.
The only thing is, though, I have to have a caveat, and that was that, especially my...
Wait a minute, you don't get a caveat because we're out of time. Dr. William Strickland, thank you so much for joining us. Kelsey, welcome back to radio.
Thank you.
And thank you all for tuning in.
Thank you very much, Michael.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.